This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Day 8 of the government shutdown, and it is affecting the nation's airports. Air traffic controllers not getting paid while the government is not funded. And now President Trump is talking about not giving them and other furloughed workers back pay either. ABC's Victor Oquendo.
In 2019, President Trump signed a law guaranteeing retroactive pay for federal workers once a shutdown ends. When pressed by reporters on whether he will defy the law, the president saying this.
I follow the law, and what the law says is correct, and I follow the law.
Attorney General Pam Bondi before the Senate Judiciary Committee saying the Justice Department has determined there's no reason to release any more of the Epstein files. Six former surgeons general issuing a warning about Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s policies, including his policies regarding vaccines. Members of the Texas National Guard have arrived in Illinois against the wishes of the mayor of Chicago and the governor of Illinois. This is ABC News. Tesla trying to appeal to cost-conscious buyers, introducing new models with a price tag as low as $37,000. A cat that went missing from a Virginia store where it had been living is now back home after quite a joyride.
Francine, the cat, has been a fixture at the Lowe's store in Richmond for more than 8 years. Known and loved by employees and customers, but in September, when Francine disappeared, the store camera showed she got spooked and hitched a ride on a truck that ended up at a sister distribution site 85 miles away. That set off a search, with animal control setting up humane traps and posting photos of Francine that went viral on social media. Staffers got the call about 2 weeks later, and Francine was found and is back in the store. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
You could soon have your own happy little trees hanging on your wall. 30 paintings from late Bob Ross are going up for auction next month. The proceeds will go to help public television stations hit hard by Trump funding cuts. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The Brewers battle the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 3 of the best of 5 series between the Brewers and Cubs. Quinn Priester, who turned 25 last month, making his first start in the postseason against the team he grew up watching, the Cubs. Priester, from the north suburbs of Chicago, was in the stands during the 2016 World Series at Wrigley Field. I asked him, what's it like throwing that first pitch in a game?
Some games, like, you throw that first pitch and you're like, yep, we're locked in. And then some games you throw the first pitch and it's a little arm side, or you pull it or whatever, and you take a deep breath and just get right back after it.
NBA, the Bucks are back in Milwaukee. They host the Detroit Pistons in a preseason game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The team looking aggressive so far in practice.
No, it's part of, you know, guys that fight for their lives. And then the guys who aren't are fighting for their minutes, which is their lives. You know, so it's a good thing.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by nutritionist and founder of Wayless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then fantasy football expert Peter Van Doren joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down until we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. We are kicking off Act 2 here tonight. Great guest, Jim Flanagan is here. Asher Brooks will be here in a little while. Two funny comedians, one from Chicago, one from Door County. Asher actually owns a comedy club, too, so we'll talk to him about that. They have a fun show coming up tonight, and we will get back to our guest, Jim Flanagan, momentarily. Our question of the night is, how do you feel about the Curter Burger? Lots of different answers all over the place. And Tom in the 414 says, duck pin bowling is fun. So there you go. When we bring Jim back out, we'll talk about that. But thank you, Tom. It is fun. I've actually done it myself. If you missed earlier, we talked about Bad Bunny a little bit, and people are outraged for really not very good reasons, in my opinion. We talked a little gym attire, Apple TV raising their rates, which I don't think is fair. What else, Con? What else did we miss here? What am I?
I think you got it.
Did I cover it all? I just want to talk to Jim, so we'll do that. Let's get back to our guest. Jim Flanagan is here over the stream. You can see Jim at the Thirsty Duck in Sussex, Wisconsin, October 24th. There's duck pin bowling and comedy. I mean, two things probably we need a lot more of, to be honest. And who wouldn't love some laughs after some duck pin bowling? So, Jim, it is great to have you here tonight. Thank you for sticking around.
Great to be here. Can I ask you about something? Are you a Brewers fan, Pete?
You know, I grew up in Chicago till I was 12, then I moved to Wisconsin. So I like my Chicago teams, Cubs, Bears, Bulls, and college I go for the Badgers. So that just happened. I didn't like make a choice. It just happened that way. But my first day in school in northern Wisconsin when we moved here, I had Packer fans in my face, and that is what my life has been like, Jim, coming from Chicago. So I was never able to make the switch. Why do you ask?
I wonder if it's becoming like Bears-Packers with the way the Brewers are beating up on the Cubs. I'm a third party. I'm a White Sox fan.
Oh.
But like Packers fans are so rude to us, and like they don't even they just brush us off because they beat us so often. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're Bears? And I'm wondering if that rivalry is, if it's becoming more of a rivalry with what's happening right now, especially with like Craig Counsell going to the Cubs.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what that's like.
Well, I think it's, Conrad could speak to this. He's had some fun at my expense. I will say, I think as far as Bears, Packers, and Con, maybe you could back me up on this. When it was the height of the rivalry, I would say 90s, early 2000s, it was still pretty good. But now, like, I have Packer fans that say, oh, I feel bad. You guys are like, they want the rivalry to be good too. And it just hasn't been for like 30 years. And it's kind of ridiculous. And even Packer fans, I think, they like take pity on you, you know, and you don't want that
that's
either.
That's worse.
Right?
Like, the same woman I was talking about who was from Sussex, I dated for several years, her mom at one point goes, you know, I don't even like making fun of you for being a Bears fan anymore. It's just sad because you guys never win. And that's meaner than anything else she could have said to me.
I know. It's so bad. I'm not like, look, I've lived in Wisconsin now for, I lived here as a kid for like 6 years, and I've been back here for like 12 years or whatever. And it's a great place to live. I don't, if they won a championship, I'd be thrilled for them, for my friends and the people I know. And I feel like I've had good sports. Like, you know, I saw the Cubs end a 108-year drought in crazy drama fashion. I had the 85 Bears, six yeah. Bulls. I can't ask for anything more as a sports fan. So I would like to spread that love a little bit. I would love to see a Wisconsin team win.
There you go. Look at yeah. you, knowing your listenership. Well done.
Con, am I the same way off the air, though? Oh, man, you are.
Just... Thanks, Con.
Yeah, thanks for the backup. All right, so, Jim, I want to ask you, like, we were talking about the Kurter Burger. Some of my best fast food memories are of Chicago fast food. We've got Culver's here in Wisconsin. We've got great brats. But I grew up going to places like Superdog on the north side or those little corner places where they have Italian beef sandwiches. What is your favorite Chicago fast food?
Hello. Far and away, Portillo's.
Portillo's.
I'm sure you're familiar. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure you're familiar with Portillo's. It's just, it's the greatest. They just started doing breakfast this year, which mixed results. I don't know if you've ever tried to have Italian beef at 7 o'clock in the morning, but not particularly the best idea in the world. That's our thing. That is our thing, Portillo's. Yeah. I mean, we're starting to put them all over the country now. It's hard. First of all, they're the ones who perfected, like, the people outside the drive-thru, which yeah. I think a lot of places are trying to do now, where they'll right. station employees outside, which is brutal in the winter here. I mean, there are times where it's, like, negative 20, and the only people outside are, like, you know, snowplow driver and Portillo's workers
yeah.
just standing in that line, just still out there. But they've perfected it. It's the type of place where it's chaos all the time. You order your food and a guy yells it through a speaker to the people in the back.
Old school.
And they never make a mistake.
Right.
They
yeah.
somehow, they're more accurate than people who use computer systems. It's wild.
Oh, that's a great point. You're right, though. And we have Portillo's in Wisconsin now, too. But in Wisconsin, I've noticed they don't give you that Chicago fast food tamale, which I grew up on and loved. So, but we get the beef sandwiches and the cake shakes and all that kind of stuff. And I have a funny story. When I was at DePaul University, my roommate, he and I would go back and forth. I liked Superdog. There was one on the north side. Mm-hmm. And he worked at the first Portillo's when it was in a trailer in like the early 80s when he was in high school.
Wow.
And he knew Dick Portillo, and we would go back, well, Portillo's is better, Superdog is better. But wow, did he win that one? I mean, Portillo's is everywhere now. And it's like, I can't believe how it's taken off. It's good stuff. That's a great answer.
It's crazy. Warren Buffett bought the yeah. rights to, like, company bought the rights to Portillo's outside of Chicagoland, which I think okay. is kind of wild that, like, they, Dick Portillo and his family, I don't even know if he's still with us, but, you know, whoever still kind of runs it, who ran it, still runs it in the Chicago market, but okay. outside of there, it is all under, when Warren Buffett is investing in a fast food company, you know you're doing something right.
He does his research, yeah, for sure.
He knows what he's doing.
We've done the question on this show, like Wisconsin, we've got brats. That's kind of our staple sandwich. Chicago, you got the beef sandwich. Philly, I don't know if we've ever done Chicago beef sandwich versus brat, Con, but we've done, I've had this discussion. I think the Chicago beef sandwich kicks the Philly cheesesteak's ass. Like, it's not even close.
Wow.
I like a Philly cheesesteak.
Nate Bargatze would not like this.
Oh, really?
I'm just kidding, just because of the swearing. I was just kidding because you said ass. I'm sorry.
I meant like,
you going back to our earlier convo.
I meant in the biblical sense, but anyway.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I try not to eat fast food. I do like to talk about it. So, all right.
I couldn't agree more.
So yeah, Jim, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's my fault. I think I'm on a delay here, but I couldn't agree more. I think the Italian beef here, in its simplicity, is just one of the finest fast food meals you could possibly get.
That's lovely.
And the Bear has kind of opened it up to other people, right? That TV show.
Oh, yeah, right.
But they make it feel a lot more gourmet than it really is.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. You want it sitting in that beef water for weeks on end before it gets to you. Like, you want it to melt through the bread, right? You want it to be radioactive to some extent. That's the best.
Here's how much I used to love that sandwich. I was driving around with a friend of ours, Pete Moore. I think you know Pete. Maybe you don't know. He was probably gone before you started, but great comic, good guy. We stopped at this little joint on Cumberland Avenue. We were both starving. It was a hot day, And there's this old, huge Italian guy over the grill, and I could see his forehead sweating onto the beef. I still ate the sandwich.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
You have to. This works. It's the best salt you can get, you know?
I would never do
that's
that.
That's the though. Sodium we want.
All right. So let me ask you this. One more thing in regard to your career, Jim, because I think you're so funny. Do you write scripts or do you have any desire to write for TV or movies? Or is that kind of you categorize that the same with the acting?
Yeah, I think I'm more likely to act than write scripts.
Okay.
I've written what I like writing for. I'll do a decent amount of corporate work. And a lot of people don't like doing corporate shows, corporate events, because sometimes you have to tailor for your customer. But I kind of like that. I came from the business world and I don't mind, you know, like writing something tailored, writing something for others. Right now I'm writing, a friend is hosting the Midwest Emmys, which is, you know, it's the same. The Emmys are regional. The only ones anyone cares about are Los Angeles, obviously, but they have them all across the country.
Sure.
But like I'm working on a monologue for that as we speak with some friends. Like I've always got other comedy writing projects going. I've written one screenplay that was just kind of more for me to get the experience of doing it. I enjoyed the process. But man, I can barely work hard enough to write my own material, much less like putting out, you know, spec scripts or other things. So yeah, it's not something I like working in groups on bigger, script projects.
Yeah.
But I don't mind writing focused as long as it's still punchline driven.
Well, whatever you do, don't stop writing stand-up. I absolutely love your act, and I hope you have a great experience. October 24th, Jim Flanagan will be at the Thirsty Duck in Sussex, Wisconsin. It's supposed to be a great room. He's worked it before. I encourage all of you to go see his stand-up because it is outstanding. And by the way, Jim, Vince Maranto left a comment. I don't know if it was on the text line or social media, but he said, Flanny, F-L-A-N-N-I. So he must have heard us talking about him. That's exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me, Pete. It's always a pleasure to be here, man. I'm a huge fan of your work, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise, buddy. We'll do it again soon, and break a leg out there.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Jim. That's Jim Flanagan, folks. Check him out. Very funny stuff. Google his stuff. Go to YouTube. He's got a Dry Bar special and a Nate Bargatze special. Is that what am I saying? Is it Bargatze or Bargatze?
Just Nate Land.
Just Nate. He's like one of those, he's like Prince. He's becoming one of those one word people now. You just have to say Nate.
I can't wait to go on that first roller coaster at Nate Land.
At Nate Land.
And where it's like, it's you're going down, it's just through his mouth.
Where he spews clean comedy as you go down his throat. Let's get to some texts for our question of the night, which is, how do you feel about the Kurter Burger? Asher Brooks will be here in a few minutes. He is a Door County-based comedian who actually owns a comedy club, too. Always fun to talk to Asher and have him on the show. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, he's in the 608. He says, if I was a burger and I could dream of nothing better than to lie between hot buns under cheese that has been battered. That sounds really obscene, and I don't even know what Tyler means, but I expect nothing less of Tyler. Tom from New Berlin said he didn't like our answer, Conrad, about the Kurter Burger. And he said, why the rage? Or is he referring to Bad Bunny?
He might be referring to Bad Bunny.
I hope so. I didn't think I was a hater on the Kurter Burger. I just... Tom, I'm with you. I think we know. There's a certain segment. They don't like Bad Bunny. And they complain about that stuff at the Super Bowl. And I don't care either way. I just don't watch the performance if I'm not into it. But I think that's why the rage, maybe. Steve from Florida, Conrad's dad, checks in and says, Pete and Conrad, I'm sticking by my prediction this past Friday that the Brewers will win the first three games and sweep Craig Counsell's Chicago Cubs. Did your dad? He did predict that, didn't he?
He did.
Wow, impressive. He says, tomorrow's Amtrak train to Wrigley Field has now been named the Brewer Express will be epic, in which Brewer fans will be talking about for years to come. Is your dad going to be on that train?
No.
In Florida?
He's in Florida.
Okay. John Murray says, you two knuckleheads need to go eat one. He's talking about the Kurter Burger.
I like the word knucklehead.
Thank you for the health advice, John. He says, this survey is just going to confuse you further. It is fair food. Amazing. Unless you hate curds, admit that on the air in Green Bay, Double Dog Dairy. I like curds, just not on my burger. And John's better half, Melissa, says, sorry, guys, but if you've never tried it, you don't get a say. That's not true, Melissa. I've got a microphone. Doggone it. keep those texts coming, folks. We will be right back on Nightlight with Asher Brooks coming up next.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway, and from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays. Pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me. We are talking Kurter Burgers tonight and comedy. It's all about comedy tonight. We had Jim Flanagan on in hour number one, and coming up in just a minute is Asher Brooks, a very funny comedian based in Door County, who also owns the Firehouse Comedy Club. So we'll talk to Asher in just a moment. Steve from Florida, answering our question, says, regarding Culver's Kurter Burger, this is the first time I have heard of this seasonal burger, but I like the idea and will have to try it, maybe on the Brewers Express train. He says, what I would suggest to Craig Culver to make it epic and memorable is to design the bun, butter burger, and cheese curd patty in the shape of a cheese head. Thinking into the future, it could eventually turn out to be the official burger of the Green Bay Packers. Your dad's an idea guy, dude.
I think you need to patent that, Dad.
Why not, right? Yeah. There's one more I wanted to read here before. Oh, Chris Casper says, Dino chicken nuggies for me. I mean the grandkids tonight. Was he the one that sent the picture?
Yeah, it's some tater tots on one side and some dino nuggies on the other.
They are going to go to town. Look at all that food. Chris must have like the Brady Bunch over or something. Where was I? I just had a great text. Oh, Nick from Marshall on the 608 says, Kurter Burger, call it the Turter Burger. Love me some good food from Culver's, but the cheese curds on the burger taste like, and then there's like a poo emoji. And Nick says, Wisconsin can do much better. That's the strongest reaction so far. We'll get to the rest of your text in just a bit. Right now, I would like to welcome another comedian to the show who is one of Northeast Wisconsin's finest. He owns the Firehouse Comedy Club in Sturgeon Bay, and he's also a very funny and talented comedian. Mr. Asher Brooks joins me now. Hey, buddy.
How are you doing tonight?
Doing very well. Thank you for joining us tonight. And you are one of the owners, correct?
Yes. So I'm the one who runs the show. I'm the one who I take all the profit and I pay all the taxes. Mostly just the taxes, actually.
Yeah. Well, that comes with the territory, right?
It does. I really wish I'm looking for some way to reverse it. So like the customers pay taxes, but I haven't yet managed to figure that out.
Well, I think you might be onto something there. And I don't know that anybody's even in those offices right now. So we could probably stick that check.
That's fair. If I file my taxes really early, do you think I can get away with nothing?
Boy, you're asking the wrong guy, dude. I got an extension. Mine are due in like a week and a half. So I am the wrong guy to ask. I couldn't even get it together this year.
Your taxes are due in a week and you're talking to me.
That's
you
right.
You have a laissez-faire attitude about finances, my friend.
This is a lot more fun. And anything I say to you is tax deductible, frankly. So I've got that going
That's
for me.
That's true. My dad was a CPA for years, and so I know a lot about taxes, or at least I know a lot about how much he shouted while he was doing our family's taxes.
Let me ask you, Asher, before we get to the comedy stuff, have you ever tried the Kurter Burger?
I have not. I'm from Georgia originally, so we didn't have Culver's until I moved up here, and I'm allergic to bread because God has cursed me for being too handsome and good-looking, so I can't even eat bread, so I can't eat the Kurter Burger. Although I'm sure it's great, I can't imagine you can eat a full one without needing some sort of medical attention.
I totally agree.
It just seems so heavy. Like, I've eaten mozzarella sticks when I was a kid, and it just seems like one massive mozzarella frisbee. And that's just too much.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you that. You said you're from the South, Georgia.
Yes.
What is your food there that you miss? Like, what's the fast food in Georgia that you go, oh, my God, I'm craving that right now?
Okay, so the thing about Georgia that is so ubiquitous and amazing is Waffle House. House is on every exit. There are multiple in every town. I mean, there are places where you can look left, see a Waffle House, and look right and see a Waffle House. And you're standing in the parking lot of a different Waffle House.
Wow.
Like, they're everywhere. They're diners because, like, I like McDonald's well enough.
Sure.
But McDonald's is not a place where you want to hang out unless you're a teenager with nowhere else to go. But like a Waffle House, you can like people go there after church. It was a big thing.
Yeah.
The Waffle House would be packed around like 1:30 on a Sunday. You can be comfortable. You can have coffee and bacon and eggs. And it's fantastic.
Yeah, they're an institution. And if I remember correctly, when I would work the South as a stand-up, when I was in Florida or Georgia or whatever, they're open late, too. Like, I remember comics
saying— They're open 24 hours.
Yeah, they said, let's go get chicken and waffles. I'm like, what? What the hell kind of combination is that? And then you eat it, and you're like, oh, my God, I totally get this now.
It's fantastic. Yeah, and being open 24 hours means that they have— Like, depending on what shift you're coming in, it's an entirely different clientele. Like, the 6 a.m. to— Like noon shift is all old people getting their breakfast in and then families. The late shift, like the 12 to 6, that's all drunk college students coming in absolutely hammered and ordering way too much. So, I mean, it's a different vibe whenever you're in at a different time.
I love it. Now, since you've been here, I know we haven't even gotten to the comedy yet, but since you've been here, have you gravitated towards a particular Wisconsin food? Have you discovered the brat or the cheese curds or what have you?
I mean, I will say, strangely enough, like whenever I come down to Green Bay has a great amount of Mexican food. Georgia doesn't have a lot of great Mexican food.
Oh, okay.
There's like one or two Mexican restaurants in every town. But when you drive through like University Avenue, I mean, you can see like real Mexican food, real taco truck, stuff like that. But I don't know, Wisconsin food, I don't want to crap on it. You're doing a great job. You're all trying very hard. But there's a barbecue restaurant up here that I won't name because I work very near to it and they'll kill me. But Wisconsin barbecue is not the same as Southern barbecue. And it's fine. It's just you've made meat and I'm proud of you for trying. But I don't think you should be allowed to call it barbecue. I think you should be allowed to call it like pork with smoke on it. Maybe that's better.
All right. I think we just need to take a deep breath here. I don't want Asher to dig a hole for himself any further. No, I've heard that too. It's a different animal, but, and I totally get it. Asher Brooks is here, folks. He's a comedian and owns the Firehouse Comedy in Firehouse Comedy Club in Sturgeon Bay. We're going to tell you about a great show coming up after the news And we'll find out maybe what he's watching and maybe talk a little more food. And I want to ask you, Asher, when we come back about the blue collar guys, because they were very Southern, identified with the South culture. Yes. So we'll talk about that too. All that's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air. You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Day 8 of the government shutdown, and it is affecting the nation's airports. Air traffic controllers not getting paid while the government is not funded. And now President Trump is talking about not giving them and other furloughed workers back pay either. ABC's Victor Oquendo.
In 2019, President Trump signed a law guaranteeing retroactive pay for federal workers once a shutdown ends. When pressed by reporters on whether he will defy the law, the president saying this.
I follow the law, and what the law says is correct, and I follow the law.
Attorney General Pam Bondi before the Senate Judiciary Committee saying the Justice Department has determined there's no reason to release any more of the Epstein files. Six former surgeons general issuing a warning about Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s policies, including his policies regarding vaccines. Members of the Texas National Guard have arrived in Illinois against the wishes of the mayor of Chicago and the governor of Illinois. This is ABC News.
The Brewers battle the Cubs.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game 3 of the best of 5 series between the Brewers and Cubs. Quinn Priester, who turned 25 last month, making his first start in the postseason against the team he grew up watching, the Cubs. Priester, from the north suburbs of Chicago, was in the stands during the 2016 World Series at Wrigley Field. I asked him, what's it like throwing that first pitch in a game?
Some games, like, you throw that first pitch and you're like, yep, we're locked in. And then some games you throw the first pitch and it's a little arm side, or you pull it or whatever and you take a deep breath and just get right back after it.
NBA, the Bucks are back in Milwaukee. They host the Detroit Pistons in a preseason game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. The team looking aggressive so far in practice.
No, it's part of, you know, guys that fight for their lives. And then the guys who aren't are fighting for their minutes, which is their lives. You know, so it's a good thing.
That's Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Most movies have a climax. When it comes to When Harry Met Sally, there were actually two climaxes in the film, one of which was iconic and still talked about today. Rob Reiner was the director of the film and recently referenced the scene where Meg Ryan pretended to have the big O in the middle of a deli while sitting opposite Billy Crystal. The director says it was very awkward directing the scene in front of his mother. You might be asking, why did he invite her to the set that particular day? It's because Estelle Reiner is the woman who leans over and says, I'll have what she's having. Couldn't have been that awkward. Despite getting good reviews in his new film, The Smashing Machine, Dwayne The Rock Johnson says he feels bad. The film did not perform well at the box office, but Johnson still says he is grateful for those who went to see it. I'm curious to see his performance because critics say he was really good. Just a bit of advice, though, if you want to be taken seriously as an actor, maybe ditch the Rock part of your wrestling moniker. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. That's exactly what gerrymandering is. But in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes. And they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable words.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
As the government remains shut down, what solutions are in sight, if any, and the political fallout in Wisconsin? We'll discuss it with Trigby Olson, the Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow. Next time, join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. You still have a few more minutes if you want to be part of the fun here tonight with our question of the night. How do you feel about the Curter Burger? 855-752-4842, 855-752. What did I say? 855-752-4842. 855-75. Civic. That's what I was looking for. We will get to some more of your texts in just a few minutes. Right now, we jump back in with our guest, Asher Brooks, who is a very funny comedian, based in the Door County area and also one of the owners of the Firehouse Comedy Club. Asher, let's talk about a big show you got coming up here. I love how you guys do this because, you know, you do a show once a month, correct?
Yeah, we do shows once a month, and we do them on off nights on Tuesdays because Door County, if y'all have ever come up and visited, and you should, please come up and visit with us. We love to have people up there. But the whole thing is service-based, right? So Saturday nights are bars and restaurants and theaters and trolleys, everything. And so when you get people coming up day after day after day, the people who actually live there, their nights off aren't Saturdays or Fridays.
Right.
Their nights off are Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And that's when we do our shows. And it's allowed us to cultivate local folks that come up and appreciate our shows.
Yeah.
People who come back night after night. It's crazy. I've had people who've come from the very first show all the way to the latest one we did. We've been in operation for about a year and a half now. Wow. And it's great. It's like having a little birthday party every month and my friends show up and give me money to see me talk.
Let's talk about that. Okay. You've got a $15 cover charge. Very reasonable. Is there a drink minimum or is it just you pay and you're in?
You pay and you're in. It's not, I mean, and don't tell anybody this, but it's not about scraping as much profit as possible. What I want to do with ticket prices is make enough money to pay the comics reasonably because we're, sure, you know, we're on the thumb. We're out in the middle of nowhere. And especially Door County being so far out, if I'm bringing in like, you know, Reagan Nimela and Brian Wilkes, like I want to make sure that I can pay them for their gas and their time enough they could get a hotel if they wanted to stay for the night, although a lot of people just jet back home.
Okay.
But that's all I care about covering. And then alcohol costs, I mean, I want you to get drunk, but you know, I'm just making sure everybody has a good time. We try to be reasonable.
Reagan is very funny. I was looking at clips earlier today of her, and she's on your October, is it the 28th?
Yes, she's on the October 28th show. She's fantastic. Yeah. I had her up as a feature about a month and a half, 3 months ago, maybe. And I immediately rebooked her to bring her up as a headliner.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's great. That does not happen very often. That's exciting. Who else is on the show in October, Asher?
So it's going to be Brienne Wilkes. I first caught sight of her when we were doing the Oshkosh's Funniest Competition. So she was one of the finalists. She did really well, went and played the Oshkosh Arena. So that was really great. I saw her. She did a great job. And then anytime I see somebody doing well, I always try and reach out to them and give them a spot just because, you know, it's great to try and recognize people's talent doing well. Yeah. I want to bring in people who are pillars in the comedy community, you know, people who've been around for a while. I always make sure to get them. But if I see somebody like new and exciting, I try and snag them. I want to meet them. I want to have them perform my room and hopefully learn something from them.
Do you put up, like, since it's on a Tuesday, you have a three comic show, I assume. Do you put any guest sets up or local guys can or girls can go up and work out some stuff?
I've done guest spots before, but I don't know. I'm a little anal retentive. I come from a background in theater, so okay. Once I have a show locked in, I like to leave it as is. Yeah. So guest spots are definitely doable. And, you know, if somebody presents some time, like I had a guy named Jacob Wilson, I believe. He was on Wild and Out. He had done The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He was in town. Texted me and you know, with credentials like that, I was like, my man, you can absolutely do a guest spot if you want to do a guest spot. But you know, if somebody's in town, they're close by and they've got a good clip to show off, I would love to put them up for a guest spot, but I don't want to invite people up such a long way if I'm only going to be able to pay them guest spot money as well. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Want to make sure I'm being a responsible booker.
All right. So tell us again how the club got its name, Asher, the Firehouse Comedy Club.
Well, Door County is built on the ashes of old Door County. So the building we're based out of is the old fire station for Door County. That's where all of the fire wagons were stored. And I do mean wagons, not trucks, fire wagons.
I love that.
The old boilers and everything. And so the building has been repurposed. We're up on the second floor. There is still the old fire pole in the building. You cannot use it. It is not good for you. But we've replaced it with an elevator. So it's still in the building. And the restaurant downstairs, Door County Fire Company, they're an amazing sponsor. They do a lot of great stuff. And it's great because people can come eat dinner down below and then come upstairs and we've got a full bar waiting for them.
It sounds like such a great experience. And I love that there's a comedy club in Sturgeon Bay. I go to Door County a lot. I love it there. How do you like it? Like, I know in the past when you've been on the show, you've told us how you ended up there. You could tell that again, but how do you like it based on where you're or compared to where you're from?
So I grew up in Valdosta, Georgia, which is the very bottom of the state of Georgia. Last place to use the bathroom before you hit Florida on the way to Disney World. Right. And if you do use our bathrooms, we do thank you for your business. But moving, I moved to Columbus for college. Columbus is a really big city in Georgia. Moving to Door County was a little bit like moving home. You know what I mean? It was very small. The people there all knew each other. I had to start saying good morning to people in Walmart again, which I did not enjoy. But Door County is a little bit like living in Disneyland, if that makes sense. Everything is beautiful and everything is unique and special. But you do live in Disneyland and you can only go on Space Mountain so many times. So, you know, the locals that live up here, when you see each other during the on season, it's a little bit like seeing another soldier in the trenches. You just kind of give them a little wave and then hunker down and keep moving. But in the winter, it's amazing because you have all these wonderful amenities and experiences. You got resorts with almost nobody in them. And so it becomes this really peaceful, quiet, gorgeous place. So I think it's fantastic. My wife has been taking gig work, so surely she doesn't like it very much. She keeps leaving me for 3 or 4 months at a time.
Oh, wow.
But we actually really quite like it up here. And it is gorgeous. You know what I mean? We're so lucky to be able to walk outside and see water on three sides.
You're right, too. It's a place where I've been there in the summer, I've been there in the winter, and even in the spring, when it's not its prettiest, you find amazing deals, and it's like the world is your oyster when you're over there. So it's fun all four seasons, I think.
Absolutely.
So you're from the South. Do you tend to gravitate towards Southern comedians? How do you feel like about the Blue Collar Comedy Tour or some of these great comedians that have come out of the South?
Well, the blue collar people specifically, I have big memories of. So when I was growing up as a kid, they were some of the first comedians I was allowed to watch. Like John Pinette, I was allowed to watch because he was relatively clean. And then the blue collar guys weren't necessarily so clean, but they were, you could catch shows where they were.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to Ron White and Jeff Foxworthy and Bill Engvall and Larry the Cable Guy over and over and over again. And I think all of their comedy is very good. I remember Bill Engvall's story. Whenever I think about writing storytelling comedy, writing about him going parachuting for the first time and he and his buddies brought the igloo they used as their college desk with them because it was full of beer. Like, those stories stick with me. And my grandfather, who not a big entertainment guy, really likes to sit on his lazy boy and watch hunting shows or be in a deer stand hunting. He took me to see Delta Farce, the movie blue collar comedy guys did. And if you missed it, that's okay. I wouldn't worry about it. but like he and I could connect over that, and we could watch that together. So I have huge, great memories of them. I don't know what they're up to now, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I think that they're the best stuff is the stuff I remember from when I was a kid. I know Jeff Foxworthy, I think, is what riding that Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader money. So good for him.
I worked with him. I filled in. I was his producer for like a month. A friend of mine took a leave or something or had a medical thing. And I got to hang out with Jeff a little bit in the green room. And I remembered him from when I was a stand-up too, but very nice. All those guys. I worked with Larry the Cable Guy, Ron White. They were very nice. I don't think I ever talked, aside from Foxworthy, with them once they found that niche. And man, did they rake it in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's got to be wonderful as a comic, because so much of your young years as a comic are finding your voice, finding what, you know, what demographic you speak to. And then those guys just to lock it in and just work. And then Larry the Cable Guy, wow, to get one role as Mater, as an animated car, and then just be like, wow, I don't have to work ever again.
That I is get to- insane. My kids loved that movie and loved Mater. And I'll just tell you, since you're here, Dan Whitney is Larry the Cable Guy. I met him when he was Dan Whitney. He got me into one of my favorite comedy clubs ever, the Milwaukee Comedy Cafe, because they loved him there. And we were at Zany's. There used to be a Zany's in Pheasant Run way out in the western burbs. And Dan and I were working together. He got me on the show. He takes out this yellow construction hat and he goes, I'm trying this new character. Let me know what you think. And he puts it on and he walked up. And the bit was basically just him saying, hey, you order cable? And it got like a chuckle, and he gets up. He goes, what'd you think? I'm like, eh. Asher, within a year, he is selling out arenas with this character. I couldn't believe it. Very funny guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. People love to laugh at themselves. I can't tell you how many people, like growing up in the South, talk about Larry the Cable Guy as if he is related to them. They're like, because a lot of people don't know it's a character, and that's fine. That means it's a good character. It's a character so big, it's become its own thing. And how nice it must be for Dan Whitney to be able to go to the grocery store and not wear flannel and then just be able to be himself.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, like people, my grandfather, again, would quote Larry the Cable Guy at me. In the colloquialism. So it's art imitating life, imitating art again. You know what I mean? Like Dan Whitney's making a character based around people who are like my grandfather. And my grandfather goes, yes, I will use that in my daily life.
I love that. That's so
absolutely
great.
I respect all those guys.
Yeah, they were good comics before they, and regardless of what you think of them individually, I mean, they were all pretty solid comics before they got together and they just found a great niche. What, name a comedian, Asher, you'd love to have at your club if money were no object.
Oh my gosh. If money were no object, I could talk about the people that are really killing right now. Like, I mean, there are people who are in the upper echelons, like Kevin Hart. I don't even know what watching Kevin Hart would be perform now would be like. What does he do when he comes to a club? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I can only picture Kevin Hart on a stage so large I can barely see him. Like, that's all I can think of when I think of him. But there are some folks that are like, there are some folks out in LA, like smaller comics. I say smaller, that's the wrong word, but like Gianmarco Cerezi, Ify Nwadiwe, people that are doing work over in LA, like the Dropout cast members, those guys, I would love to see them perform. And the thing is, because the plane ticket's just too expensive, I don't think we're ever going to see them. But I would love to bring them up. Even if my demographic didn't like it, I'd just sit in the front row just clapping like a seal. Just, oh, I'm so excited.
Make it a special event. Come on.
Absolutely.
All right. We got about 45 seconds or so left. What's better, being a comedian or a comedy club owner?
Being a comedian, being an owner is mostly putting up posters and sweating about ticket sales and then paying Facebook too much to advertise. Being a comedian is about writing jokes and drinking a little too much.
Oh, man, that's a great way to go out. Thank you, buddy, for being on the show tonight. Best of luck on the 28th. Check out the Firehouse Comedy Club, folks. Asher Brooks, thank you as always, my friend.
Thank you for inviting me, man. Y'all have a great rest of your day.
You too. All right. I always say, when I have Asher on, I'm like, I got to get over there. I'm so curious as to what that place looks like. I've heard it's like just got a lot of charm. So I'll have to check that out one of these days. But tomorrow night on the show, folks, let's do this after. We'll do a break. We'll come back. We'll finish up with some texts. And I'll tell you who's on the show tomorrow night. You won't want to miss that one either, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. August 25th, a Utah judge ordered a new congressional redistricting map drawn after finding the legislature had violated the state constitution. October 6th, the legislature defiantly passed a new gerrymandered map. The legislature had previously passed legislation to neutralize Better Boundaries Proposition 4, a voter-approved independent redistricting commission passed in 2018. It ignored the commission's maps and created its own gerrymandered maps benefiting the Republican Party. Both acts were ruled unconstitutional. 3rd District Court Judge Diana Gibson set November 10th as a deadline for choosing a new map. October 6th, the legislature selected option C as their choice. The map, while slightly more competitive, appears to still lock in U.S. House seats for Republicans, according to the Utah News-Dispatch. It also passed a bill changing Proposition 4's language and requirements. The legislature is not the only stakeholder proposing maps. Plaintiffs, Mormon Women for Ethical Government and the League of Women Voters, also submitted two options on October 6th, both of which comply with Proposition 4's original criteria. Republicans argue only the legislature can approve the final map, not a judge, and hinted at impeachment if she doesn't approve the legislature's map. We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. It's been a fun show, Con.
That's true.
We got a little comedians on a little more often, I think.
Yeah.
My thanks to Jim Flanagan and Asher Brooks for being on the show tonight. Thank you for all your texts and calls. We're about to finish up some texts here in just a minute. Tomorrow night on the show, Sherry Stokoe will be here. She's a nutritionist and a dietitian who founded Wayless MD outside of Milwaukee. And I wanted to have Sherry on the show because a couple weeks ago, I read an article about a woman who lived to be 117 years old. And they kind of broke down in the article how she did it from a health standpoint. So I'll talk to Sherry about that tomorrow night. That'll be an interesting conversation. And then our pal Pete Van Dorn will be here in the second hour to talk fantasy football. I need serious help. I'm in one league. It's a league my son invited me to be in with his friends. I'm the only old guy. It's just him and all of his 20-year-old friends. And they're like, he's like, Dad, you got to update your roster. Like, he's getting mad at me. And I can't keep up. So Pete Van Dorn is the perfect guy to have here for that. So we'll
That's another fun show tomorrow night. Going to the stream here, Sydney says, hello, it's me, Sydney Politics. They've developed a bromance, Sydney and Dave Kunish. Sydney says, I have had the Kurter Burger, and it is better than any barbecue in any part of the country that you can get or any other food there is. And then he says, what up, Dave? All right. Well, maybe, Sydney, maybe you've inspired your pal Dave to try the Kurter Burger because he's seems like he's kind of on our side there. Alan on social media says, I'd rather eat a spagomlet, a reference to the Godfather of Green Bay. It was an ad-libbed line by our pal Eric Price, a very funny and talented Milwaukee actor. Danny Wheels says, is it better than the KFC Double Down?
I don't know. I've never tried that either.
I've never tried that either. That looks like two chicken patties with, like, it's the bun. The two fried chicken patties are the bun. Okay. Con, you said I'll stay away. Jim Denny says, I love them, but one a year is all I can handle. That's sensible. Eric on social media says, not my favorite. Did not find it to be as decadent as it sounds. Kind of mid, actually. Do you understand that vernacular?
Yeah.
What does mid mean? I know, but explain to people.
You know, it's kind of just, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's nothing, nothing special.
Stacy Sue on social media says, nope. One word answer about the Kurter Burger. And then let's go back to the text line here. Lori from Hayward says, Kurter Burger. Okay. I don't know if that's a yes or a no, but thank you, Lori. Tom from New Berlin, 414, says, Pete Love. Thank you, Tom. Back at you, buddy. Oh, there's Lori. We missed part of her text. She said, hey, Pete, had to look up what a Kurter Burger actually is. Saw the picture and decided if they would leave it off all those healthy veg, if they would leave off all those healthy vegetables and put on another burger patty, it might just be about perfect. Lori, I cannot argue with you. You're a woman of conviction, and that was very beautifully, eloquently written. Thank you for the text. Steady Eddie in the 608 says, Pete and Conrad, I think Culver's should add a hot dog to the Kurter Burger and call it Culver's YOLO, Kurter and Frankfurter Self-Murder Burger. I mean, Steady Eddie's got the floor after that one. For all the people that were pro-Kurter Burger, I'd love to know where you feel... what you feel now after hearing from Steady Eddie. He says, I'd like a large order of crinkle cut fries and a chocolate shake with that, please. Steady Eddie. Thank you, buddy.
Now that's getting to about 3,000 calories.
Boy, he's the burger itself is 820. Let's say you throw a dog on there. That's another 200. You're at 1,000. Fries are what, 400 or 500?
And then the shake by itself is
custard shake.
I think like 1,000.
Oh my God. If that's all you eat that day, 2,500 calories, you'd probably keep the weight off.
Well, There's other factors than just the calories.
Correct. Sodium. Bridget in the 818 says does not sound good to me. Okay, Bridget, thank you for the text. She's on our side, Con. Tom from Monona says, I would like to try one, but haven't and probably won't. Tom was all over the map with that text. I would like to try one, but I haven't and probably won't. I don't know why that cracks me up so much. Try it, Tom. Report back. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Tom from New Berlin, this is about our duck pin bowling talk. He says, a score of 100 is good bowling. A 300 is overrated in bowling houses. I don't think that's true. 300 is like a perfect score, right?
It's a perfect game.
That's all strikes, Tom. But he says, overrated in the bowling houses. I don't know. I'll defer to Tom. Barb from Waukesha on the 262 says, I never heard of this Kurter Burger, so I asked my 33-year-old son. He said he just had it for lunch and said it was good. All right. And then, of course, Chris Casper. I don't even know if I read his text. We just looked at his picture, but he says, Dino chicken.
Dino.
It's Dino? Okay.
Like, yeah, the chicken nuggets are in the shape of a dinosaur.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I thought, like, Dino from the Flintstones. I don't know.
the Flintstone vitamins.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Dino. Yeah. It's like candy. Dino chicken nuggets for me. I mean the grandkids tonight. Actually, I think I did read that. Thank you, Chris. Good to hear from you, buddy. Did I get everything, Con?
Yeah.
Are we good? Caught up on text? Well, that was a show, man. That was fun. Tomorrow night, Sherry Stoka and Pete Van Doren, fantasy football, health talk. Sherry's the perfect guest to have on the next day after we do all this Kurter Burger stuff.
We should ask her if she's tried it.
Oh, done and done.
You know what we should do? We should both go to Culver's tomorrow, grab a Kurter Burger, and just house it while she's on.
We could do that, or we could bury it in the yard and see if anything on it changes over the course of a year.
I think something would.
Yeah, it's Culver's. I'm sure all the ingredients are natural, and really the worst thing on that for you health wise is the curd, because it's deep fried. But
and it's a whole patty.
It's a whole patty. I'd just like to be the guy in the kitchen on curd detail. You gotta
just
make
dropping patties, curd patties into the deep fryer.
John Murray double dog dared us, Con. We'll have to take him up on that. Hey, thanks for being part of the show tonight, folks. Loved your texts and calls. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The government shutdown contributing to thousands of flight delays on Tuesday as air traffic controllers work without pay, some of them calling out sick. Other federal workers are simply not working at all and not drawing a paycheck.
Air traffic controllers are exempt from being furloughed during a shutdown, but some 750,000 federal workers are currently out of work. Now, President Trump suggesting not all federal workers on furlough are entitled to receive back pay once the government reopens, even though that is the law.
ABC's Victor Okendo. Six former surgeons general have penned a letter telling the public they have no faith in Health Secretary Robert Kennedy's vaccine policies. Attorney General Pam Bondi repeatedly deflecting questions during a Senate hearing that came on the heels of the indictment of former FBI Director James Comey amid questions about the politicization of the Justice Department. Nobel Prize in Chemistry was handed out today. This is ABC News.